Good morning, Crossings. Good to see y'all. We doing all right? Doing good? Man, it is good to be with you guys. I am personally really excited to get into God's Word with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 5. As you get there, I want to welcome you to this series. This series is called The Jesus We Created. And I was thinking about this title and what we're talking about in this series, and that is customizing Jesus. That's what we're talking about. If you open your phone, not today, and go to Chick-fil-A, you know what your app will tell you? It will offer you the meal you just ordered last time, and you can just click, yep, that's what I want again. If you go to Starbucks, same thing. You can say, yep, that's what, like, they will offer, they know what you want. They know. And if you're anything like me, I am not a very adventurous eater. And so any restaurant that I may go to, I will get the exact same thing every single time. Anybody feel that? Anybody? You're like, if I'm gonna pay money, I know I want to be happy, all right? I'm not gonna adventure when I'm paying for it. So we fall into this customizable Jesus idea very honestly. Our whole world is customizable. Everything that we do, everything that you purchase, everything that you want to experience, you can customize it to your liking. And so this is just who we are as people. And so of course, if we're swimming in the soup of customizable culture, it would make sense that this is going to drift into our faith life. This is going to affect and impact who Jesus is and how we interact with Jesus. And so that's kind of this series that we're in. If you're new here today, we're so glad that you're here. But the honest truth is we want to follow the Jesus of the Bible, not a Jesus that we have created. That's our heart. And so this series is talking about that very thing. Now, I also was thinking about this message from this standpoint. One of the things that we struggle with, I think, as Christians is this concept of having a boring faith. That we just go through the motions. You know why we maybe sometimes just go through the motions? Is because we like to customize things to our liking, and then we just kind of start doing that thing on the same schedule and do the same thing over and over and over because we know it's worked before, it'll work again. And all of a sudden, we're like, man, this following Jesus thing doesn't seem that exciting. It's actually kind of boring. I just go to church and I sing some songs and I hear a message and then I leave and go eat lunch and then I go do my life the rest of the week and then I come back and we'll do it again. So here's what I'm really excited about. The passage that we're gonna look at, I think, is gonna hit two things. It is gonna show us that we don't change Jesus, Jesus changes us. And then secondly, what we're gonna see is that following Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible, is not boring. In fact, it's the most exciting thing you and I can choose to do at any given time. When I was a kid, I would go visit my grandparents out in San Diego, California. I grew up in Iowa. And so for Christmas, every year, we would get in the car and we would drive from Iowa to San Diego and back. And I was so excited. We'd get to go to the ocean and all these people in California that are wearing coats and earmuffs and scarves. And here's the Iowa kids just jumping into the ocean like crazy people. But about day three of our vacation with my grandparents, I would get bored because my grandparents didn't have toys. They didn't have kids stuff because they lived a half a world away. And so they weren't babysitting us. They just had their stuff. And it wasn't super kid friendly. And so I would go to my grandpa and I would say, Grandpa, I'm bored. And every single time, I'm not kidding, every single time, this is what he would say to me. Andy, boring people get bored. Oh, okay. But guess what? Who's the guy that orders the exact same thing at every restaurant? This guy. And I don't see myself as a boring person. What I do is I get into ruts and I get into rhythms that become boring. And I think if we're following the real Jesus of Scripture, you will find that your faith, your life, and your faith life come together in an incredibly exciting way because God is always doing more than we think. And we're gonna see that today. So let's read Luke 5, verse 1. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, which is Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. When he, Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets." When they did this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their other partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. What a story. So let's walk through here what's happening. Is Jesus is being pursued. People want to know who Jesus is. It says they were pressing in on him to the point where he had to get into a boat that was hanging out, pull off the shore to give him some space so that everyone could hear. Because we all know sound travels over water better than land, so it just makes sense. Jesus gives what I'm sure was the most amazing sermon these people had ever heard, but you know what? The strange thing, we don't hear anything about the sermon. Nothing. It simply says, when he finished speaking, he said to Simon. Now let's follow here in verse 4 and 5, one more time. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets." Here's the quick point. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. This conversation is a personal conversation. I love how Jesus goes from the crowd and then the real activity, the excitement happens when he has a one-on-one conversation with Peter. It wasn't in the service. It was when Jesus spoke to Peter, things started to get wild, exciting, the opposite of boring. And what's interesting is Simon calls him master. Now that word master means like superintendent, the guy who's in charge, think boss. So Simon says, "All right, boss, we've been up all night fishing and we've caught nothing." What is Peter, this is a very human response, isn't it? Now, they've been up all night. They fish at night, not during the day. So this is first thing in the morning. You can imagine how Peter's feeling. He's probably frustrated. They've caught nothing. They're probably exhausted. They've been up all night. And now they're trying to clean up, and this preacher guy grabs one of his boats. And then this preacher guy says, "Hey, let's go fishing." I love Peter's response. It's just natural. I get it. And here's the thing. It goes against Peter's experience. He's a professional fisherman. And what Jesus is saying makes no sense. He's like, "We've been up all night, dude. What are you talking about?" It goes against his expertise. This is not the time of day you fish. We fished all night. Now it's morning. They're not gonna bite. And what also does he say? He says, "Put out into the deep." Because when you fish with a net, you fish close to shore. And so everything that Jesus is saying is going against his logic, his experience, his expertise, and also his exhaustion. He and his guys are tired and they have failed. And fishing for them wasn't an Instagram picture. They weren't holding up the vision like, "Look at this." No, this was their livelihood. They were going home that day with nothing for their kids and for their family. They were demoralized, I'm sure. But what does Jesus say? And what does Peter then say to his boss? And isn't that how we have a relationship with Jesus sometimes? "Okay, boss. It's not an intimate relationship with a savior. It is just boss. But I'll give Peter all the credit in the world. What does he say? He says, but if you say so, I'll let down the nets. He goes against his logic. He goes against his experience. He goes against his expertise, and he goes against his exhaustion. Can we be honest? This is the moment where we typically, in our humanness, we put a tourniquet on God's activity in our life. We turn it off. I'm tired. This doesn't make logical sense. Turn it off. This goes against my experience. Turn it off. It goes against my expertise. Turn it off. And in doing so, what we are inadvertently doing is we are creating a Jesus that will only move in our expertise through our current experience when we feel like we're in the mood. It's like Ryan from The Office. I want to be led. But don't like boss me around, like lead me in the way that I want to be, like when I'm in the mood to be led, right? This is how we treat Jesus. Peter doesn't do that. He just says, yes, I'll do it. Let's continue reading in verse 6. This is where it gets crazy. When they did this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. Now, did you see what happened here? There was a yes from Peter. And if you recognize in that last verse of verse 5, he says, I'll let down the nets. This is a personal response from Peter. He is being obedient, but his obedience has a much bigger impact than just him. His yes to Jesus wasn't just for him. The very next verse, verse 6, it says, when they did this, Peter said, I'll let the nets down, but when they did this. And so the cool thing that's happening here is the impact of obedience to Jesus isn't just for you. It's for the people that are in your boat. Your yes to Jesus impacts everyone else. Here's the thing though. Usually when we look at something that we feel Jesus is calling us to or leading us to, is we think of the negative. Well, what will this cost me? This is gonna be inconvenient. I don't have the time. I'm exhausted. I've got my calendar. I've got my schedule. I already know my life. But Peter doesn't do that. He says, yes, if you say so, Jesus, I'll do it. And then all of a sudden, an individual move of obedience starts to impact more people. And then if you look in verse 7, it impacts more people. Look at verse 7, he says this. So they were catching so many fish. It says, so they, the first group that were brought in to fish, signaled to their partners. So what you start seeing is one person's obedience moves the ripple effect to the small group. And then they're catching so many, they got to bring in more people. And this is what God's always doing. He's always doing more than you think. If he's calling you to something, if he's convicting you of something, you know what he's not doing? He's not just working in your life. He's gonna use your obedience to positively impact those around us. Our natural tendency is to go negative with obedience. This is my life. Who are you to tell me what to do? I've got my plans, my ways, my gifts, my expertise. I know what I'm doing. And so we turn off the activity of God in our life because we just say, no, I don't have time for that. I'm not willing to make other people do something with me, right? Because that's what Peter did. Peter made an obedient move that involved his friends. His friends had to help him be obedient. Man, how cool would this be? To be in this moment, to watch what Jesus is doing was not just for Peter. Oh, it was for Peter. Don't get me wrong here. But if I put myself in this story, you know who's also probably watching this? The whole crowd that just heard the sermon. They're watching. One man's obedience impacted his friends, his company, and the entire community. Crossings, what? What if we became a church that just started saying, if you say so? What if you, as an individual, started just to say, God, if you say so, I'll do it. If you as a family, as a church, as a location, just saying, I am going to start saying yes to Jesus, even when it goes against my expertise, my expectations, my experience, my logic, and my time and my exhaustion, I'm gonna say yes every time. It will change your life. And you following Jesus ceases to become boring. It becomes the most exciting thing. And every morning you wake up to follow Jesus, you're like, what do you got for me today, Lord? And your day at work, your day off, your day in between, your vacations, your everyday, the mundane of your life starts to become incredibly exciting because God is always doing more than you think. But are we open and willing? Peter was open and willing to listen and obey Jesus beyond his exhaustion, beyond his experience, and beyond his expectation. Because your obedience is more, your yes to Jesus is for more than just you. It is for those that you love. It is for your neighbors. It is for your coworkers, for the city, and it is for this world. If people start seeing this church and every family and every individual in this church as people that say yes to Jesus, I guarantee you, we're gonna see things happen in this city that we could not program with the best minds in the world. Because this is what Jesus does. He doesn't just fill your boats, he starts to sink it with goodness. Because did you notice he gave Peter exactly what he wanted? Peter wanted fish. They had been up all night fishing and they had nothing. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you exactly, exceedingly, abundantly, exactly what you need and what you want. But like I said, Jesus is always doing more than you think. Watch this. Let's go to verse 8. Right, their boat began to sink. It says, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me because I am a sinful man, Lord. For he and all those who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. You see, the truth is that we don't change Jesus. He changes us. He is the one who is cultivating. He is the one who is customizing. The question for us today as a church family is, are we willing and open and available for Jesus to customize you to the image of himself? That we would be the hope of the world, taking Jesus everywhere that we go, saying it's not about the money, it's not about the prestige, it's not about the power or the influence or even the pleasure. It is about Jesus. He is the hope of the world. And we, as his children, are invited into this incredible opportunity to not just be saved, but to then bring the good news of Jesus to literally every person we come across. And what will happen is everyone will be amazed at what Jesus has done. And it starts with you in your life, me in my life, and us as a family of faith. But here's the thing. We see Peter have a very interesting and pretty weird response to catching a lot of fish. Any fishermen in here? This isn't my reaction when I catch a 5-pounder. Like, this is not what's going on. I am freaking out. Taking pictures, trying not to let it go back in the water before I get all the pictures, okay? This is what fishermen do. And what Peter should have done in his own humanness is say, oh, I just found a new guy for my fishing team. Oh man, here we go. He just got exactly what he wanted. And he should have, according to our humanness, say, hey, here's the deal. I would like you to come back tomorrow and we're gonna run this back. Because this catch would not have just made him a lot of money. It would have made him famous. He would have been a big deal at the Sea of Galilee. Everywhere he went, every bar he went into, every restaurant he went into, every street he walked down, people were like, tell us that story, Peter, what happened? He'd be a big deal. And here's the thing, when we try to customize Jesus, it's usually to customize him to our advantage. We create a Jesus that works for us and for our glory and for our good. But the move that we see here is Peter doesn't do that. He doesn't drop a contract on Jesus and say, hey, I want you on my fishing team. I mean, I can buy a couple more boats now. If you do this every day, holy cow, we'll feed the whole country. What he does doesn't seem natural and doesn't seem normal. Look what he does. He falls at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me because I am a sinful man, Lord. Couple things here. When we encounter the real Jesus of the Bible, what naturally happens is we see ourselves for real. When we're in the presence of Jesus, it's not all the things that we think about fall to the wayside, and we get to see, he shows us the real us. And Peter's just saying, hey, there's something different with this guy. And what he makes me realize is I am not worthy to be in your presence. And that can sound really like, oh man, that's not nice. But we'll get to that in a second. The second thing I think that's interesting here is the verbiage. Peter goes from calling him boss to Lord. Master to Lord. Like, you're my overseer, you're my superintendent, but now he says Lord. And that word Lord means the one to whom you belong. The one who holds decision-making authority. And so here's the change that has been made. It is, hey, I'll do what you say because I respect you, boss. I'll do what you say because, Jesus, you're a good teacher. You're a guru. Like, everybody likes you. I'll just do what you say because I respect you. But now there is submission and say, I belong to you. You now hold decision-making power in my life. When Peter responds, he falls. There's a physical expression of the inward change. There's a physical expression of the inward change. And I just wonder, are we willing to say yes to Jesus so that our obedience will both be for our good and for the good of those around us, and that it will be for God's glory so that everyone will be amazed and everyone gets to hear the good news of Jesus? That he's not a taskmaster looking to control your life. He's a loving father and a good shepherd. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He is the great physician. He's all these things. And he says, do life with me because I know what's best for you. I've made you, I've designed you, I've actually wired you to be with me. And Peter finally gets it. Go away from me. He says, you are my Lord. I belong to you, but I know who I am. And it says they were all amazed. Now let's finish this up in verse 10. I love Jesus' move here. He says, and so the James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners, this is the first thing Jesus says to Peter. Do not be afraid. Because following Jesus is terrifying sometimes. Giving up our expertise and our experience, our logic, what we're good at, our natural talents, it is terrifying and scary to give up because we think, well, what am I gonna lose? Maybe God won't come through. Maybe, well, does that make sense? And so I love that Jesus moves into shepherd mode immediately. It is not shame. He doesn't say, yeah, Peter, I know. He doesn't say that. Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's okay. So when Peter says this, go away from me because I'm a sinful man, Lord, Jesus must have sensed some fear, either in Peter or everyone around him, like, what is happening? Who is this man? And Jesus says, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. He says, from now on, you will be catching people. And then, in verse 11, it says, they, not just Peter, they, the obedience of Peter, impacted everyone. Then they brought the boats to land and left everything and followed him. Meaning he doesn't just change our view of who he is. He changes our desires. He changes our purpose. He changes our affections. He changes us. We don't customize him. He customizes us. And he changes our desires from the fleeting things of this world to the eternal gifts and blessings that he has for his children. And so guys, Crossings, following Jesus, the real Jesus of the Bible, is the most exciting thing you can do with your life. It is. And the mundane ceases to become mundane. The mundane becomes an opportunity to see what God is about to do. And it's in our personal life, it's in our groups, and it's in our corporate worship. All three levels, Jesus is moving and working. So here is where I want to end. Verse 4, I see the irony of what's happening. Jesus just gave this amazing sermon. I'm giving a sermon. Hopefully it's been helpful. But we don't hear about the sermon. God didn't work in Peter's life through the sermon. Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to talk to you. So here's how I want to end our service today. I want to give you a few moments right here, right now, before you go off to lunch or Sunday school, whatever you do, to talk with the Lord. Because that might just be where Jesus wants to talk to you about saying yes, or trusting him with obedience, or saying, I want to change a little bit. I want to convert who you are. And maybe I'm not the one to deliver that message. It's probably the Lord who would like to speak to you. So we're going to make space for it. So however you want to do that, you want to bow your head, you want to stare at the sky, whatever you want to do, I'm going to stop talking for about 2 minutes and just let you talk to the Lord, to marinate in this story and ask God, what do you have for me? Go ahead. Father, we just come before you so grateful, Lord, that you not only save us, but then you call us and you equip us to follow you. God, may we become a church. Would we become families? Would we become friend groups and individuals that say yes to you? Would you give us eyes to see the opportunities before us? Would you give us eyes and ears to hear the people you have placed around us that need the hope of Jesus? God, would living by faith, not just something we say on Sundays, but would we do it every day? Would you open our eyes to see what you're doing around us? and how you want to accomplish it through us, both for our good, but ultimately, Lord, for your glory. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Crossings, have a wonderful week of worship.